All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. Genesis chapter 17, verse 8.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and then, Lord, knowing that you are in our very midst. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds to guide us, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, and that you would be honored and glorified, and our lives drawn closer to you and strengthened, Lord, in the grace that you've given to us. Bless, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is An Everlasting Possession. Isn't that good? An everlasting possession. There are a lot of things that you can achieve or accomplish and attain on this side of eternity, but none of them, unless it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the earthly things cannot have an everlasting possession. And we have that in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you think is the greatest everlasting possession? Is it the promised land of Canaan, or a relationship with God, our Savior? Well, we don't really have to answer that question, because the great news is that the child of God gets both. Amen? God has provided to us all of his promises, and we also get a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that can grow and flourish and honor and glorify him and be a blessing to us and to our families and to our church and to the whole world. And so we thank the Lord for that. I want to look at some things concerning this everlasting possession. With three thoughts tonight, very quickly. God's only stipulation. And then secondly, God's place of worship. And then God's place of fruitfulness. So let's look at God's only stipulation to this everlasting possession that was for Abram and then also for his seed. And we looked at Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, where all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are that promised seed. And so we thank the Lord for that. Look at verse 1 here. And here's what it says. And when Abraham was 90 years old. Now let's get this into perspective. Back up with me one verse into chapter 16, verse 16. And it says here, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And so now we know that since he's 99, he was 86 here. That makes Ishmael 13 years old. Okay, so at least we know the time frame here. Abram's 90 years old, 90 and 9 years old, and Ishmael's 13. And the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's his stipulation. Aren't you glad? You just have to be perfect. That's all you have to be, is perfect. Isn't that good? Listen, not in our day and age, it may not be good, but let me help you understand what the Hebrew means here. The word perfect here means simply upright and sincere. In other words, you are not perfect in the sense of perfection without flaw, without mistakes, and without error, but perfect in the sense of our heart being, yes, Lord, I want to honor you. Yes, Lord, I want you in my life. Yes, Lord, I want your will for my life. Guide me. And that is really a sincere heart that is upright before the Lord, right? Sincerely, Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, I want to know what your will is for my life. Now, aren't you glad that is the only prerequisite that God would have for anybody who would enjoy the everlasting possession? And of course, when God is telling this to Abram, this is talking about on our earthly journey through this world, because every child of God who's saved is going to enter into the presence of the Lord because of God's grace, his mercy, and of course, the ultimate sacrifice that was given for all of his children. But God wants us to experience something of him right now and all through our life that will continually grow in us. So from Abraham's beginning up until this point, has Abram experienced some battles and trials in his life? Has he also experienced the mighty working hand of God in his life? Isn't that good? So all through our lives, we have this potential as we desire to seek the Lord, as we desire, and God knows our hearts, does he not? And so if we say, Lord, I want you in my life, he sees that. He sees that we want him and that we're willing to say, you know what, Lord, I really need you to show me the way. Because, you know, if I'm not careful, I can think what I think you want, right? Listen, and not really give much. Listen, this is what we ought to do. And I'm afraid, I wonder if some of the Lord's churches today aren't doing some crazy things and God's scratching his head and saying, you know, I never said for you guys to do that. And not that he's not patient and long-suffering with them, but I think it's more of a benefit to us to say, Lord, I really do need you. I don't want to go out of your will. I don't want to come up with my own ideas. I know that you have planned everything. Isn't that good? I don't have to come up with any of my ideas. I just need to look for your will in my life. And so he says, all that's required, the only stipulation is that we be upright and sincere in our approach to the Lord, that we say, yes, God, I want you in my life. And then he says this in verse 2, and I will make my covenant. In other words, as long as you're upright and sincere, verse 2, he says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And he's talking about his seed. He didn't say seeds as a plural. There's only one seed, and that was going to happen through Isaac, which is really a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the promised seed. He is the Redeemer of the whole world. And so we thank the Lord for that. And again, that is the only stipulation that will cause the Lord and honor the Lord to where he will multiply his seed. It's just a willing heart to say, yes, Lord, I want you to guide me. So let's consider God's place of worship. And so Abraham is approached by the Lord. Isn't that good? Listen, God is the one that sought out Abraham. God is the one that seeks you and I out and says, yes, I want to guide you. Yes, I want to, as a child of God, he still seeks us if we're willing. And then what happens? Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face. God did that, right? God brought him to that place. God revealed that to him, and it so moved Abram that he fell on his face in the place of worship, and God talked with him. Isn't that amazing? Can you fathom that thought? God talked with him. Abraham was moved to fall on his face and worship him because of what God had said. Do you know that you and I can enter into places of worship as we open up the Word of God, and God can directly give us a personal revelation, speak to us through his Word, and give us words of comfort and joy and excitement and understanding that we just say, oh, what a great God. Thank you, God. And then the communion continues, right? So here's Abram on his face, and God talks with him, saying, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. You didn't make yourself this. I am making. And by the way, look at, I have made thee. Is that in the future tense? In the eyes of God, he's already done it. I have made thee. I've already done this. It's already done in the eyes of God. Isn't that amazing when you consider that? So many good truths that God wants to give to his people. And so he says, for a father, at the bottom of verse 5, of many nations have I made thee. And so that's a good place to be. And it was God that brought Abram, who is now called Abraham, because he's a father of many nations, into this place of worship and into this promise fulfilled. So let's look at the last thought briefly here. And let's look at God's place of fruitfulness. Ready? Verse 6 says this, and I will make thee partially fruitful, kind of fruitful, a little bit fruitful. No, he says, I'll make thee what? Exceeding fruitful. Isn't that amazing? God wants to make us exceeding fruitful. Listen, if your life is not fruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe it's because God's not making us fruitful. Maybe it's because we're trying to do it for the Lord. maybe we're getting in the way of God, because God says, oh, I'll make you fruitful. And I'm going to give you a little challenge tonight for the rest of this week. And I'm not going to collect any papers, and I'm not going to even check up on you on this. This is just something for you and the Lord. And I'll just tell you in advance. Read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 prayerfully. Prayerfully. Just take those first 8 verses in John 15 where Jesus Christ says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And if you abide in me, you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear more fruit and much fruit. And I believe you'll find a blessing there. I believe God will bring you into a place of blessing just as you meditate on that. Just 8 verses that I think will be a blessing. But notice again in verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. See, that's something that Abraham could not do for himself. That's something that God wants to do. And God knows that we cannot bear fruit without him. And so verse 7, it says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And we're the ones after Abraham. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land, that's the promise, wherein thou art a stranger. That is the place that God wanted Abraham and all of his descendants to receive all of the promises of God. And likewise today, it's in Christ, in the church, is the promised land for the believer today. And that's where God is glorified, and we grow in the Lord there. And so he says, and I will give, verse 8, unto thee and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So God says, I'm going to bring you into this place that's going to influence and affect your life for the glory of God as well as your seed. And remember, we're the seed in this day and age through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to encourage you to go to the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 1 and 8, because that is more related to the New Testament church. And just ask you to just allow the Lord to speak to you as you contemplate those verses sometime through this week. And I believe you'll see some amazing things and maybe be reminded of some things, but even, believe it or not, see some new things that God would have for you and I to see. So rejoice and enjoy the everlasting possession that God has given to every one of his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us in salvation. And we are just, we know, scratching at the tip of the iceberg. And we thank you that you go beyond, Lord, that you are limitless and you are eternal. And so is your word. And we thank you for that. And we ask that you would bring us into the possessions, Lord, that you have, the everlasting possession that you have purchased for us, that we might truly be blessed by it, be good stewards of it, and share it with a lost and dying world. Again, bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.